عم تسمع يا هلا فويس من شيكاغو. حنجرة ذهبية.
في عربي في الراديو هين بالسيارة في شيكاغو.
طوت إلى الزمن الجميل، زمان العمالقة والفن الحق.
ألو.
أيوة الحق يا مرا. بقولوا عربي بالراديو، بيحكوا عربي.
مين هذول اللي بيحكوا عربي؟
هون بالراديو بيحكوا عربي على يا هلا. بقولوا اسمهم يا هلا وهون في شيكاغو.
أنت وين هالكيت؟
أنا بالسيارة مروح من الشغل في مشتقن أفينيو جنب الميلينيون بارك هذا. بالسيارة وما بفتح على الراديو إلا بسمعهم بيحكوا عربي. اسمهم يا هلا من 1450 من شيكاغو.
يا حج من وين بده يجي الراديو العربي؟ في أمريكا وفي شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم ومن السيارة كمان. والله زودتها.
إيش يعني بتقول إني خرفنيت؟ والله يا هلا 1450 من شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم هيني بسمعهم بالسيارة. ومش مصدقتيني خذي اسمعي.
يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح. أي والله يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح. أي والله ما نرضى تروح من عنا، ما نرضى تروح. لا والله ما نرضى تروح. لا والله نرضى تروح
من
عندك، ما نرضى تروح. لا والله ما نرضى تروح. لا
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town.
Talk of the Town
with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems.
And good afternoon and welcome to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at YahalaVoice.com Radio and 1450 AM live radio, live on the radio and live online too, all over the world. You can listen to us, you can call us, you can email us, you can chat with us, you can share your voice and views about any of the topics we're talking about and any of the topics that, you know, are in the news that we haven't even touched on. It's Friday, December 12th. Our producer is Khalid Khilfa, and if you want to share your opinion, we want to hear it. Call our telephone line at 708-321-1313 extension 1. That's 708-321-1313 extension 1. Talk of the Town is brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. Their number is 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live every Friday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and rebroadcast Mondays at 11 a.m. online at YahalaVoice.com. Download our podcasts at iTunes and off our website at TheArabDailyNews.com. I also want to note that now not only do I write for Creator Syndicate internationally, but I also write for a number of local newspapers in the region. If you live in the southwest suburbs, you'll probably pick up one of these papers, the Des Plaines Valley News, out by Lyons, the Southwest News Herald by Oaklawn and Bridgeview, the Regional News and the Palos Reporter newspapers, which are out in Oaklawn, all the way south also to Orland Park. So you got a good story. I want you to call me and share it, and we'll put it in the newspaper because I tell you what, it is reaching a lot of people, and our stories are important. They need to get out to people. Just this past week, I published something. Let me see if I can find it online. The village of Orland Park was doing something fascinating with all of the religious institutions. Not a lot of communities. You know, you got to give Orland Park credit. You know, and things have changed, by the way, in Palos. Palos was very anti-Arab years ago. In 1994, I think it was, or 96, I can't remember the exact year. I'd have to look it up, but I remember they were trying to bring that mosque to that old Christian church that had been closed down for 5 years on 127th Street. Nobody wanted it. So a group of Muslims decided they were going to buy the church and turn it into a productive piece of property. There are like, I don't know, 30 churches in Palos Heights, Christian churches, and no mosque. The only closest mosque was the Bridgeview Mosque. Beautiful place, by the way. And as soon as people in Palos Heights found out that Muslims were going to buy this Christian church and turn it into a mosque, they went berserk. And I remember going to the meeting, these public hearings that they had. Hundreds and hundreds of Americans went to these meetings yelling and screaming about how the government would allow Muslims to buy a piece of property and turn it, especially a Christian church, and turn it into a mosque. They said it was disgraceful, and they were upset, and they were yelling, and they threatened the village officials. And I remember the mayor at the time, he stood up for the Arabs. Yeah, I have to think of his name. It's going to take me a while. Nice guy. Nicest guy in the world. And I'll remember it because he's a good guy. But if you're out there and you remember, why don't you call me and share that memory? Because I tell you what, that's how many years ago was that? You know, we're talking like 20 years ago. And then September 11th, 2001 happened. And by the way, they blocked that, Koldenhoven, Mayor Koldenhoven was the guy. Great guy. He was one of the most popular mayors in Palos Heights. And after he stood up for the Muslims, who happened to be Arab, he was booted out of office. He only got 450 votes or something. This is a guy that got thousands of votes before. They threw him out. But he did get the JFK award from the John F. Kennedy Foundation for standing up and doing the right thing. What was interesting today, I stopped at a gas station along Harlem Avenue, and I think it was a 7-Eleven, very in Palos Heights, very Americanized, and the woman who was at the counter was wearing a hijab. Such a nice young person taking my order and running the cash register, and I was thinking, wow, how things have changed in 20 years. From that battle over the mosque in Palos Heights. And then the same thing happened in Orland Park in 2004, I believe. The prayer center in Orland Park. 600 people came out again and said, no, if you build a mosque in Orland Park, Osama bin Laden was going to come out here. Honestly, he was going to come here and kill our people. That's literally what people said at the microphone at this. Well, right. I mean, you know, there are little details. Nobody cared about the reality of what was or wasn't going to happen. And, they were just like passionate and angry and hateful. You know, there's some mean people in the world. And it's not a reflection so much on Orland Park, but there were a lot of them, 600 angry people. And I give credit to Mayor Dan McLaughlin and some of the board members. They stood up and they said, you know, we're going to do the right thing. And the fact is that Orland Mosque didn't need the village's permission, but they did it because they were trying to work with the people. These were neighbors of everyone's. They lived in Orland Park for years. Everybody else knew them. And they wouldn't... You know, they didn't want to open up that mosque in Orland Park, but the village mayor, Dan McLaughlin, stood up for them. They got the mosque out there. And just this week, if you go to IllinoisNewsNetwork.com, there is a story about how the village of Orland Park unveiled a new video tour of Orland Park's faith community. It's a four-part video series on YouTube, and I have the links up at IllinoisNewsNetwork.com, and you could see how the village has done profiles of all the different Christian churches and the Orland Park Mosque. And it's good to see, diversity kind of settle in as the norm in Orland Park. And it's a great series, and I think Dan McLaughlin deserves a lot of credit for putting that together. Right now I want to welcome our guest this evening, Bob Fioretti. He's an alderman. Now, when I was covering Chicago City Hall, I think he was an assistant, he was working in the law department for the city of Chicago. I'm pretty sure. I don't know, Bob. Was that correct? Were you?
Absolutely. You were correct.
I remember seeing you all the time. You were always such a good guy, smart, You know City Hall. It's not like you were some guy handpicked, you know, with a lot of money to swoop down like our current mayor and just grab the whole pot of gold, you know, from the Daley family and take over the quote unquote machine. You worked your way up through the system and through how many different mayors did you work with?
Three mayors, both through Jane Byrne, actually maybe I will say a couple of days of Blandick, Jane Byrne, and of course into Harold Washington.
Were you there when?
And for many years.
And after Harold Washington died, were you still, or when did you get elected to the city council?
I was elected 7 years ago in the 07 election.
But you didn't.
I ran against a incumbent appointed by Mayor Daley, who served 14 years as the incumbent there, and I beat her in a tough election. It was the second ward. My ward was
right.
A 76% African American. I was the first Caucasian to win that ward since 1915, when Oscar DePreece was elected, and it is a historic black ward. And unfortunately, during the remap, they moved the second ward, and again, as a slap in the face and showing turning their backs on communities, they moved it all the way up to the north side.
Well, and your first election proved that race doesn't have to be the determining factor. Those voters who are African American who voted for you, who happens to be Caucasian, voted for you because I think they were making a statement. They didn't want to be dictated to by City Hall and have City Hall tell them who should represent them. Did they?
Absolutely, Ray, and that was it. You know, when I knocked on everybody's door, I knocked on 11,900, and I think we had 33 doors to knock on. And I went through my ward twice, and on a third time, making sure that I tried to reach every voter and talk to them directly. And it was a great experience, and I continued that approach even when I was the alderman, that we have regular forums with the people, talk to them. I drive my ward on a regular basis, and of course, I've been elected to represent, as I said, a ward. But
right.
In 2015, they're moving it up to the north side, and of course, I have some responsibilities because the other aldermen up there have abdicated their responsibilities for zoning and for certain city issues. So I represent two wards, and I'm through both of them as often as I can go.
Do you mean that they've redistricted the ward, your ward again? Are they trying to target you or something?
I'd say they targeted me. They wanted to make sure that I couldn't have a voice on certain items,
right.
Especially in zoning and what you do, especially around McCormick Place, which was part of the ward, because I think they know how I feel on certain items.
Right.
And all of those, you know, bear in terms of what's happening with this type of an administration that's very, well, I'll say vindictive and doesn't want to listen
wow.
to the people.
You know, I kind of feel bad that I'm not a reporter there to cover some of that stuff, because in a way, your success is really a Chicago success, that race has been put aside in your ward. It's not about race. It's not about being black or white. It's about trying to represent the people properly and respectfully and rightfully in your ward, and I think you've done a great job doing that.
Thanks, Ray. And you know, you have to, and you should try to. It's interesting as I'm going around the city, and I hear from so many people that have had issues with their aldermen, and then they can't get certain types of services because of it, or so they believe they can't get services. And I think it's true. They can't get sidewalks fixed. They can't get streetlights put back on that are in certain neighborhoods. And so I hear it often, and I try to see what I can do to make sure that city services are given to everybody across this city on an equal basis, and making sure that they, because we all pay taxes,
yeah.
And we should benefit from we should have the best services no matter where you live and who you are in this city.
And taxes have no race. The money that comes from you, me, and everybody goes to the same pot, and it's one color green, and it should serve everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, or whatever. Everybody should be treated fairly. Does that, you think that happens in Chicago today, or is there still a sense? I get this sense that, you know, Rahm Emanuel is kind of a machine wannabe, you know, mayor. I think he kind of longs for the old days when the machine ran everything and you could dictate and yell and bark and order people around. And if you don't like it, lump it. You know, no one's going to change things. You know, I don't think he's comfortable with the idea of, you know, letting people really just kind of do what they need to do, following what people want. You know, in terms of education, in terms of, you know, doing things in the city of Chicago.
Well, I've said before that he's turned his back on a number of our communities throughout this city. And, you know, when we look at what he's dismantled in some of these councils, these advisory councils, and, you know, I've talked about the Arab American
right.
Council that, you know, that we need to make sure that we have again and we should reinstate. I've heard of other councils too. You know, you don't dictate. You have to listen to what the people of this city have to offer, because I'll tell you, they've got great ideas,
yeah.
And you know, and they make sense in how we can move this city forward and what we should do to work together. And it's an awesome task running this city, and you just can't say nope, I'm not going to listen to ideas. You've got to put them all together, because as I've recently said, Chicago is not really a melting pot; it's a mosaic, and all the pieces need to have the same kind of resources, the abilities, and items that we need to direct, so we make it a great mosaic across the board.
Yeah, and as you know, I'd covered City Hall starting right about the time that you got there. I got there right at the end of the Blandick administration. Covered Jane Byrne, bless her soul. Maybe we can pause for a minute and reflect, because not everybody really knew her, and I'm always shocked at how few people in Chicagoland remember that she was, you know, regardless of the daily battles and the headlines, you know, you're always in confrontation with the mayor when you're a journalist. But in despite all that, she did a lot of good things for the city, and she did love the city of Chicago, even if there was some disagreement about politics. What do you remember about Jane Byrne?
Oh, I'll tell you, I was one night sitting at my desk. Well, I've got a couple of stories over that really just, you know, resonate through me. My mom was taking care of my dad, who was a quadriplegic. He had been, had a little, clot on his spine that paralyzed him, and he was
right.
About 7 years like that. And, my mother was taking care of him. One day it was a very icy snowstorm. It was one of that wet ice. And you walk out your house and it just everything looks like it rained, but it was all ice. I almost slipped it coming out of my home. And I remember I was going to get to the office and call my mom, be careful. I get to the office, and I called and just let nobody was, it seemed like nobody answered the phone. Well, she went out to go get the paper for my dad. She slipped and fell on the ice herself.
Yikes.
She became, at that time, and first of all, she almost fully recovered, but she became paralyzed herself. Lost 4 pints of blood on the sidewalk.
Yikes.
Was there for a couple of hours. My dad was looking out the window, couldn't reach a phone, anything, and luckily a neighbor came by. Both of my parents it was a very distressing time. They were both completely ill. And my dad, ultimately, because of the great kind of health care that a family provides, he did die in a couple months. I'm walking back into City Hall the next day because I had some things that had to be wrapped up before the funerals, and there she is, and Janie says to me, "Hey, I heard about it. How you doing?" And I said, "Well, it's okay. I'm trying to get an ambulance to get my mother from her hospital just to see my dad." And I'm leaving the office, and sure enough, she had an ambulance all set up so my mom could see my dad, you know, in the funeral home. And
she had a soft side like that. I remember when my mother passed away in 85, she was no longer the mayor, but she came out to the funeral, and to pay her respects. And, you know, there seemed to be like two sides to politics back then. You know, there were, you know, we would fight. There'd be battles, but sometimes, you know, it, a lot of times maybe, sometimes it did get personal, but most of the time when you'd sit down with them, like, we would beat up on Jane and Jane would beat up on us. Same with Harold Washington. But afterwards, when we're quiet off to the side, when the lights were turned off, we'd kind of be standing there. We'd be joking around and talking and, you know, like we were friends. Like, all that stuff was part of a show for whatever agenda we were trying to push. But it wasn't that personal. Yeah, that's,
right.
So she was a nice person. I, you know, I really felt that she never really got the recognition she deserved. And I'm glad they named the plaza at, you know, the, water tower in her name, which was near her apartment, her old apartment there. But, I still think she deserves something more because she did shake up and change politics. Had it not been for her, a lot of what we have today would never be there.
Right. And I took a picture of the interchange that, there's signs on that interchange, going in and out of where it occurs that the governor named after her. And, you could see the, Sears Tower, Willis Tower in the background, a stream of like, something from one of the airplanes, that was there. And I sent it to her daughter. It was probably about 2 weeks before it before she passed away. And it was, she showed it to her, Kathy had showed it to her mother on that, Saturday. And, she texted me back and she said she really loved the picture. And so I'm glad she saw some of those signs honoring her around the interchange.
Yeah. It's always a sad story, but do you think, and you know, of course, she did start out as anti-machine and eventually she kind of came back to her roots because she was part of the machine, and that's not to knock her, but you know, she was kind of part of the machine, and I think that machine, I don't know, they say it died, but I'm not sure, quite sure that it did die. Did it die? Or is it still around?
No, I don't think it did die.
Does Emmanuel have his own machine?
In the various, I think you hit it right on the head when you were talking about that, this guy wants to have the machine in its totality. You know, he was able to hire under the Shachtman decree before it was lifted, about 1,300 people, and that's a lot of people in a lot of different wards doing political work, you know, and doing work that's not necessarily that for the government. And so, you know, you have to look at what, he's got to, he created his own machine, that will make it very difficult for my election, but as we go from, door to door and community to community and ward to ward, we see what happens, and, you know, it does make a difference on what we're doing. I think, we're ready for some new, vision here in this city, a different vision, and I think it'll all help in the long run, despite the fact that he's got a war chest and a political machine that can be knocking on doors for him.
We're on the line with Bob Fioretti. He's the alderman of the second ward, and he is running for mayor of Chicago, and we need to support him. His website is bobfioretti.com. If you have a question or a call, I know he has a few minutes. He can't take up a lot of time because he does have a pretty tough schedule. You know, running for mayor is not an easy thing to do. But the one thing that we can do to help him is to help him raise money so that he can pay for the mailings that he needs to send out. You know, he's probably pretty solid in his ward where they know him and they know how good he is. And a lot of people who pay attention to politics know that he's a great leader. But they got to get the word out to everybody in every corner of the city of Chicago. And it takes money, unfortunately, to do that. Bob, you're up against a guy that has such deep pockets. He comes from wealth. $14 million in the last election.
Well, they made him wealthy, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
they made him wealthy.
How do you beat a guy like that?
Well, again,
Obviously, money shouldn't be the deciding factor, but how do you feel you're going to defeat him?
Well, I think by going door to door of what we've done. We collected more signatures than any other candidate and turned them in at this, at the day of the filing. Our signatures were not challenged, and I'm proud of that. We had, staff and volunteers that collected it throughout this city. 55,200 and some odd signatures were up there. And it was, and we've been in every part of the city. Tonight I'm in the 9th Ward, 4th Ward, and 18th Ward. The 9th Ward and 18th Ward, I'm having Fridays with Fioretti, and I'm meeting the voters, and they're going to be asking questions and talking to me about the race and what matters to them so I can make sure that we hear them. I'm going to have and continue that kind of approach to have a regular outreach in all of our communities with all of our citizens on a regular basis. And not just a ribbon cutting and a quick photo op. We need to listen to the people of this city because they've got great ideas, just like I do my ward night on Mondays and my legal night every other Tuesday. I think all of that will be important in terms of winning this election.
Have you been able to make any headway in some of the old machine wards? Like, for example, I'll just name one out of the blue, no reason for it, but these corners of Chicago in the southwest and northwest side, like the 23rd Ward, what kind of response are you getting from people?
Well, I was in the 23rd Ward, as a matter of fact. I think it was Monday. This has been a long week, you can tell, Ray.
Yeah, no, I know. It's rough running for office, and I wish you the best.
And
that takes
you have
a lot.
City council, and
yep,
you
yes.
got to prepare for city council. You got all these committee meetings, and he's been calling all kinds of special city council meetings for his own PR purposes.
Right.
And this was a long one. But I think Tuesday night I was out in the 23rd Ward. They had a meet and greet, and sometimes you think, you get 20, 30 people. They had about 70 plus people there, 80 at a meet and greet there. They had a dancing company, Highlanders, a Polish dance company, mm-hmm. that also wanted to perform for me. They were doing it in the other room, and they actually came over there and made a performance. And it was a great experience. I've been throughout. I'm amazed at what I am seeing and what I'm hearing from the people when I come to the various wards. And, of course, a lot of our Saturdays and Sundays, we do door-to-door. We go to churches. We're speaking at churches. And the reception has been incredible, absolutely incredible.
Well, I want to.
And this week, by the way, mm-hmm. one of the candidates dropped out and endorsed me.
Right. I saw that. That was Anya, I think is her name.
Amira. Yeah.
Amira, that's right. And she dropped out. She's African-American. She threw her support behind you. That's a big deal.
And she's going to bring a good foundation basis of young, of women, to our campaign as we move this forward.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm partisan here. I support you. I don't support Mayor Emanuel, and I'll be honest with you why. For 4 years he's been mayor, he would never take a phone call from me because I'm Arab American. It didn't matter that I covered Chicago City Hall. He couldn't see a former City Hall political reporter. All he could see was someone who was Arab, and it bothered me. And, you know, my wife's Jewish, and my kid just had his bar mitzvah. So it's not, you know, the issue is the problem's with him, not me. And the fact that he can't even talk to me, you know, because I'm Arab, tells me that this is a guy that really shouldn't be setting the standard for what Chicago is all about. Because in my worst moments and best moments of covering Chicago, it's people like you that have made Chicago great, and I think you're going to do a great job. And I want to give you a piece of advice, a suggestion, and you could take this because that's what I do these days, helping people, and I'm going to openly tell you what I think you need to do. I want you to do a reality show. I want you to get a camera to follow you around when you're campaigning, put it on YouTube, and turn it into something that people will start watching. Nobody's doing that, and every little gimmick like that just brings more and more eyes to your campaign. You got the right issues. You got a great history behind you, and I really think you're a genuine person. I believe you when you say you want to do the right thing.
Thank you, Ray, and I really do appreciate that idea, too. And, you know, it's growing up in this city, loving this city and loving every neighborhood, I'm up for the task. I'm ready. And I think when all of us come together, we make the difference, and we listen to everybody, and that's how I'm, when I say I'm going to be the mayor, I have corrected myself, and I say we are going to be the mayor, because all of us are going to have input in the decisions, because it's going to be a community-based driven in terms of how we move this city forward, have great schools, how we have safe streets and strong neighborhoods.
And I want you to reach out to every ethnic group, every religious group, and I know you're going to do that, because it's not about me being Arab and whatever. It's really about reaching out to the right people, talking to the right people. I appreciate what you're doing. Bob Fioretti is my guest. His website is bobfioretti.com. I'm urging you to go to his website and support him. Do something. He needs funds to get his message out to people all over the city of Chicago. You can sit there and you can complain and whine about how the mayor did this to us, didn't do that to us, killed Arabesque Fest, killed our advisory commission. But if you can't get up off of your seat and do something for somebody who can make a difference, then all your complaints and all the rights that we have as taxpaying members of the city of Chicago and the Chicagoland area and the state of Illinois mean nothing if you're not willing to stand up and support somebody. And I hope you'll support Bob Fioretti. Bob, listen, good luck. You're welcome to come back anytime on the show to give us little updates. And we're following your campaign very closely. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. And everybody have a great weekend.
You
Thank
too.
You.
You're welcome. You have a great point. This guy's a great guy. I love talking to him. He's genuine. You know, I know some people said, hey, there was an Arab store that had a problem. Yeah, I'm sure there was. Not just in his ward, but in many wards. And you know, who knows? Maybe we didn't do the right thing. But I'll tell you what, it's worse under Mayor Rahm Emanuel. It's not just one store that has a problem. It's all the stores that have problems. It isn't just one person that has a problem. It's our entire community that he's blacklisted, that he's excluded from Chicago City Hall. You need to do something about it. And if you don't complain. Don't sit there and whine. I'm Ray Hanania. This is Talk of the Town here at Yahala Voice Radio, 1450 AM on the dial. Our number is 708-321-1313, extension 1, Khalid Khelfa is our producer, and he'll take your call and put us on the air. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about this and other topics in the news. We'll be right back right after these messages.
You're listening to Yahala Voice. Yahala Voice.
Home Life Furniture. آخر صيحات الأثاث وكل ما تحتاجه من مفروشات. Home Life Furniture. الأمانة، الأخوة، والدقة في المواعيد.
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture, 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois, 708-631-3627. Mention Yahala Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
Do you have a medical alert device? When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Man Carry's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Man Carry's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Man Carry's in Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn.
On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down, with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and documents.
فرقة شاح للرقص الشعبي ستحيي ليلة تراثية عربية من الطراز الأول هنا في شيكاغو. سعيا للمساهمة في الحياة الثقافية الفلسطينية وللحفاظ عليها من محاولات التهميش. شبكة العمل العربية الأمريكية تقدم فرقة وشاح للرقص الشعبي. مع فرقة وشاح سترى لونا من سحر التراث الفلسطيني عبر الرقص الفلكلوري.
وشاح popular dance troupe Wednesday at 7 p.m. Lockport Township High School Auditorium, 1333 East 7th Street in Lockport. Get your tickets now. www.aaan.org.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية نوفرها لموائدكم. متطلبات المطبخ العربي نقدمها لكم من خلال ماركاتنا السلطان، كرافت، نستلي، بوك، ريفل بيكان، دانا. ستجدونها في كافة المحلات والبقاليات. للمزيد من المعلومات زوروا موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
مرحبا، أنا ولاء عباد بقدم لكم برنامج الصباح صباحه من الاثنين للخميس. بنسمعكم أحلى الكلام، بنرجعكم لأيام البلاد الحلوة لما كانت كل العيلة ملتمة تفطر مع بعض، لما إمنا كانت تحط القهوة والشاي على النار، لما كنا نغمس الزيت والزعتر، ولما كان أبونا يعطينا المصروف إذا كان معه. برنامج صباحه عربي 100%. إذا اشتقت للمة العيلة اسمعنا في برنامج صباحه من الاثنين للخميس على راديو يا هلا فويس الساعة 9:30 بتوقيت شيكاغو.
وحشاني الدنيا في بلدي، عايز أروح أروح بلدي وافتكر اللي كان. وحشاني اللمة الحلوة واللي اللمة بيعزف غنوة في ليلة حب كمان.
يا هلا فويس، الصوت العربي في أمريكا.
أيوة عطوني لويحة أبو شكري، عطوني لويحة خلصة جماعة يا سري فضل ويمشي في الشام على عجل.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at the microphone, 1450 AM radio, live online all over the world at yahalavoice.com. We got good friends in Palestine, Israel, and Jordan who listen to the show. I get emails from people. I'd love for them to call. I know it's a tough thing to call, but you can text me, you can email, you can Facebook me, and I'll be happy to share your comments with the listeners in Chicagoland who are listening to 1450 AM radio live today. And we're here every Friday at 4 o'clock. Khaled Khilfa is our producer. And our phone number is 708-321-1313, extension 1, 321-1313, extension 1. That's 708. We want to hear what you have to say. This past week also, 3 weeks ago, Jane Byrne died, the first woman mayor of the city of Chicago. And this week, Judy Bar Topinka died. Now, I covered Jane Byrne, and I actually became a closer friend to her after she was mayor than when she was mayor. During the 4 years she was mayor, it was a combat zone for me. You know, her husband, Jay McMullen, a great guy. I really liked the guy. He was a reporter with the Daily News. And one time I wrote a story about how Jane had tried to get revenge for Jay McMullen when she became mayor. And Jay got so upset that I would suggest a woman would have to defend him, that he called me up in the City Hall press room and threatened to punch me in the nose. And then Jane Byrne stood up for her husband, and she didn't threaten to punch me in the nose, but at a press conference she said she wasn't going to talk to me ever again, ever. She'd say, I'll never talk to you again, ever. And, of course, she did talk to me. And I covered her for 4 years, and she was exciting. She was an exciting mayor. And she was a good person, and I got to really know her better after she left office. Office can change you. you know, being in politics can really do a number on you. But this week, another dear friend of mine, Judy Bartopinka, died. She was state comptroller. She was a state senator, treasurer for two terms. Prior to that, she was also a state senator and a state representative before that. I knew her when she was a state rep. She came to City Hall to meet with Jane Byrne. Topinka, you know, she broke her own glass ceilings too. I think maybe being one of the first statewide office holders, if I'm not mistaken, in 1994 when she became state treasurer. A great person, Judy Bartopinka, was very committed to diversity. I mean, she respected everybody's religion, and she respected everybody's ethnicity and their heritage. And Topinka was always respectful to the American Arab community and the Muslim community. July 28th, she was the keynote speaker at Toyota Park at the Eid celebration that was put together by the Chicagoland Muslim community. It was huge. They had 15,000 people at Toyota Park on July 28th, and she got up there and spoke and addressed them. And she was there with State Senator Stephen Landeck, who was also the mayor of Bridgeview, a great guy. And they talked about how everybody in this country is equal. No one is, you know, less equal than others. We're all the same. We all should be respected. That's something that Rahm Emanuel doesn't want to live by, that principle that we're all equal and we should be treated equal. And it's not about him anymore. Just because he's the mayor, he doesn't have the right to not want to talk or work with Arabs. I mean, it's amazing how he's allowed to push Arabs aside. But Judy Bartopinka wasn't like that. She was a firecracker. She was phenomenal. She was fun. I saw her at the Hobie Day Parade, which was another ethnic festival, marking the Czech and Slovak Fall Festival, Hobie being mushroom in Czech, and she headed up that parade. She was a Reagan Democrat, you know, out in the southwest side of Chicago, in the southwest suburbs. The Democrats really are conservative Democrats. A lot of Arabs are conservative, but we, most of us, a lot of us anyway, vote Democratic, but deep down we're conservative, and that was the Reagan Democrat. And even though she was a Republican, she had no problem standing up with Democrats and walking in parades with Democrats and Republicans. She respected you for what you did, not who you were and not what you were. She worked with you. It was just really sad to hear this past week that she had passed away. I'd just seen her. She actually had been walking around with a cane. She was having problems. And I remember the last two times at Toyota Park with Senator Landeck, and when I saw her in October, the beginning of October at the Hobie Day Parade, which was on Cermak Road on the west side of Chicagoland. She didn't want anybody to see her with the cane, so she asked me not to take a picture when she was holding the cane, and I always respected that. She was a great person. Plus, when I would do radio shows, she would substitute host for me when I was on radio. She would sit in for me, as the treasurer and as the comptroller and take my place, which is pretty cool, to have her come in and do that. You never see Pat Quinn do that. You know, and you never see Rahm Emanuel do that. You know, it was kind of sad. And she invited me to sit in on her weekly radio show and substitute host for her when she needed some time off to travel to see her son, or to take a break from the tough grind of politics. So Judy Bartopinka, will miss you too. Amazing that two very influential women died within the same 3.5 week, almost 4 week period. You know, it just, I think it was the middle of November for Jane Byrne, and of course this past Thursday, this past week for Judy Bartopinka. Both of them are going to be missed. And I'll be writing about that in my column in the Regional News and the Southwest News Herald and the Des Plaines Valley News, talking about the how she respected diversity and how much she did, you know, for us. A lot of people liked her. You can go online and read some stories about you know, her at thearabdailynews.com, her visit to Toyota Park in the Muslim community. There's a story there and photos, and it's a good story. We should remember people like that who remember us. It's very important. Now, if you go to the IllinoisNewsNetwork.com, the other website that I own, both of them get huge. They're both indexed by Google, by the way. Google Index loves the Arab Daily News, and Google News loves the IllinoisNewsNetwork.com. It's called IllinoisNewsNetwork.com. We only got a few more minutes because we're going to be cutting out early today because we got a little special segment at the end of the show that we're doing on healthcare, I think, right? Isn't that what it is? Get Covered Illinois, a little promo to help people get covered, get health insurance. But if you go to IllinoisNewsNetwork.com, you'll be able to see a story there about Orland Park and its salute to religious diversity, series of videos that Mayor Dan McLaughlin commissioned to recognize all the religious institutions in Orland Park, something that not every community does. But Orland Park has always been at the forefront of that effort of respecting different communities, and Dan McLaughlin has always done that. So if you go to IllinoisNewsNetwork.com, you can read that story about the video tour of Orland Park's faith community, and it includes a nice segment on the Orland Park Mosque, or as they call it, the Orland Prayer Center. Phenomenal, beautiful-looking place out there, too. This week also is a big moment for the Antiochian Christian American community. A lot of Arabs are Orthodox. The Christian Arabs are Orthodox, lots of them. The second largest Orthodox Christian church in America has a new leader. It was enthroned by the head of one of the oldest churches on earth. Saturday this past week, the Patriarch of Antioch and all the East Patriarch John X of Damascus, Syria, enthroned Metropolitan Joseph as the new head of the Antiochian Orthodox Church in North America. That's a big deal if you're a Christian Arab. Chances are you're probably Orthodox. And as you know, the Orthodox, it's kind of like Sunni and Shiite Muslims. The Orthodox and the Catholics kind of split in the same way. And the Orthodox believe in Peter as being the Pope, and the Catholics believe in Paul as being the first Pope. And but the first Christians, when they were persecuted after Jesus, fled the Holy Land and went around out of the Holy Land trying to get to Damascus, Syria. And they stopped in a little town at the border of Turkey and Syria called Antioch, and that's where the Orthodox Christian Arabs actually get their name. Antioch Orthodox Christians come from that city. That's where they held up for almost 300 years. It was on the way to Damascus. They settled there. They created a big community, and that Antiochian community today, St. George Church out in Cicero, one of the biggest Orthodox churches. St. Mary Church, I think, in Palos, is another one. There's several Orthodox churches, but a lot of them look toward this new patriarch who was just enthroned. Metropolitan Joseph was selected to succeed Metropolitan Philip Saliba, who was the head of the Antiochian Orthodox Church for many years and who I knew. He used to come to Chicago all the time in the 70s, 80s, 90s, until he passed away, I think, just under a year ago. I don't have the exact date, but it was very recent. So that's a big day for Orthodox Christian Arabs that they have a new leader of their church. I just want to tell you how much I enjoy doing the show. I know we're coming up against our time. We got any few minutes, or we're right up against the deadline? We're done. We're done. He flatlined me. Khaled gave me the flatline sign. Dead. We're dead in the water. Listen, I'm going to sign off a little early so we can do the special segment. I urge you, go to our website at thearabdailynews.com, IllinoisNewsNetwork.com, and YahalaVoice.com. www.thefuturesound.com. Get information on our future shows. You can download our podcast, a great interview with Bob Fioretti, the candidate for mayor against Rahm Emanuel, who hates Arabs. Don't forget that. I think I'm going to get a button, Khalid, and we're going to be handing it out to listeners. Give us a buzz. Share your feelings. You guys have a great week. I will talk to you next Friday here at Talk of the Town, YahalaVoice.com, radio at 1450 AM. Have a great weekend and week. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.